Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today I want to welcome Dr. Brian Payne to the podcast. Brian serves as associate professor of Christian theology and expository preaching, as well as the program coordinator for church ministry at Boyce College and Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He also serves as the preaching pastor at Fisherville Baptist Church there in the Louisville area. Brian, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Dr. Allen, it's my pleasure to be with you. I've listened to your podcast. I find it very relevant and interesting and beneficial, and it's an honor to be with you.
Well, listen, before we get into the topic of the day, and the topic of the day is the preacher and consecutive exposition, but before we get into that, I want to just have a little bit of front porch time here, and you and I were chatting on the phone briefly before we started recording. So encouraging to hear about your family. You have four children and have recently adopted a fifth. And man, just God bless you. Thank you for having a heart for the widows and the orphan, as you mentioned how God had worked in your heart preaching through James. And what a sweet story and a sweet word of encouragement to us all. So thank you for that demonstration of affection and love for the least of these.
Well, it's been a blessing for us. And as I was saying, it's the power of the word. I would not naturally have been open to adopting, but I was teaching through James, and I came to that text where James writes, "The pure and undefiled religion before God and man is to visit widows and orphans in their time of need." And I got a call within 2 weeks from the dean of our school, Dr. Randy Stinson, asking me if we would pray about adopting a little boy. And it's as if the Spirit, I'm not a mystic, but it's as if the Spirit was saying to me, you can preach the text, but can you apply it? And so both Heather and I knew that we had to do this, and it's been a blessing for us. We've had him for 3 months.
Good for you. One other word here on a lighter note. Look, I am from Alabama, a proud Alabamian, a committed Auburn fan. And look, I go on record here and say I'm doing a podcast with a one who once played football for the University of Alabama. And how long ago was that now, Brian?
Well, Dr. Allen, I played from 86 to 90, then I was a GA to the 92 season. What's interesting is I graduated with my master's in July, the end of July in 92, and I was asked if I would stay on through December of 92 to be a GA, a graduate assistant coach, because they had not filled the position. But because I'd already graduated, I didn't see a need to stay there. I knew at that point I wasn't called to coach. I was really sensing a call to the ministry at that point. But I was also making $435 a month, so I was broke and I was ready to leave.
One thing that I didn't realize is that they would win the national championship 4 months later.
So I missed out on the ring. They won the national championship in January, and I left at the end of July of 92.
So I guess that was the Gene Stallings, Jay Barca era. Is that right?
Yes. Jay was the starting quarterback on the team, and I was on Coach Stallings' first two staff. Yes.
Very good. Well, I'll make one other confession here. Look, when you kept referring to being a GA, this will a subset of those listening will know exactly what I mean by this. My mind always goes to the old Southern Baptist program for girls, Girls in Action. I grew up in RA, a Royal Ambassador, so you mean a graduate assistant. Well, look, let's get to the meat of the conversation today. The preacher and consecutive exposition. Now, you and a couple of colleagues, Dr. Jim Scott Ork, and Dr. Ryan Fullerton there, the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Louisville. Y'all have written a great book, just came out here in recent weeks, entitled Encountering God Through Expository Preaching. I mean, I really appreciate how you guys handle the topic of preaching, how the book is laid out. And it's just well done by three gifted men who are gifted preachers and gifted writers. And so thank you for your contribution here. What I want to do is kind of do a deep dive in one portion of the book. And that is chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 5 of the book is entitled Preaching Through Books. And so that's why I want to zero in today and talk about the preacher and consecutive exposition. So we're going to kind of unpack expository preaching. Now, in this chapter, you list six different benefits of preaching consecutively through books. And before we get into those, and I'll kind of tee you up and walk through those, let me just kind of read your thesis here and what you're arguing for. You say this: it is our conviction that as a general rule, the congregation will benefit from a main diet of preaching consecutively through books. Now, there are a couple of words that I want to draw in on, a couple of phrases, a couple of aspects. One is, first of all, how do you define expository preaching? And then secondly, and we can come back to it if you forget, what do you mean by main diet? So first of all, when we're talking about expository preaching, kind of define that for us.
Well, I think simply said, expository preaching is where the preacher seeks to preach the main point of the text as the main point of his message, his sermon. We are expositing, we're pulling out what the author intended to communicate. And so that's what we mean by expository preaching. Now, you can preach in an expository way and address topics. We have a chapter in here on topical preaching, but we do believe that as a main diet, preaching through books is the best way to communicate the whole counsel of God. Because there's a variety of reasons, but I think one of the main reasons is that it allows the Spirit of God to set the agenda rather than the preacher's deductive reasoning to set the agenda.
Right. And by main diet, I'm interpreting that to mean you guys are saying, look, we mean the basic rhythm of the Lord's Day pulpit, the basic rhythm of the preaching ministry.
Right.
And if a guy, you know, preaches a particular sermon on Christmas or breaks from the series to address topics, that's not ministerial malpractice. There's an appropriate time and place to do that. But the general rhythm of the pulpit ought to be where one is preaching through books of the Bible.
Right.
Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I will take, for instance, on Easter, I will preach a sermon that's centered on the resurrection. So hopefully I'm centering on the resurrection the rest of the year as well. But even on that sermon, I'm typically going to preach one text and pull out the meaning of that text, though I may be departing from my regular series in a book on that Sunday.
Sure. So you may be preaching through Mark, but that Sunday you're going to work 1 Corinthians 15. You're going to unpack 1 Corinthians 15 on the resurrection.
Correct.
So in chapter 5, and again, I want to move through these here, not rush through them. We have time to stop and chew on each. But in chapter 5, you outline 6 different benefits of consecutive exposition, 6 different benefits of preaching consecutively through books. And the first benefit, and all of these start with a P, which is so well done. The first benefit is what you argue for or recognize is a personal benefit or personal benefits. You say this, consecutive exposition helps the preacher personally to grow in knowledge and obedience by his disciplined encounter with and immersion in God's Word.
Well, as you were, I was in seminary for a long time. I spent 9 years, rather, as a full-time student doing an MDiv, PhM, and PhD, and I'm very grateful for my education. But the reality is, actually getting into the text in a disciplined manner that's deeper than a devotional life. I mean, I read my Bible every day, but sermon prep, there's just an accountability with the text that requires you to go deeper. And so that accountability week in and week out, I learned my Bible better by doing that than I ever did just reading books about the Bible. And so it has greatly benefited me. I've learned my Bible better preaching through books of the Bible than I did going to school, as important and as necessary as school is.
Yeah, there's a discipline there, as you state plainly, that this mode of preaching not only engenders but necessitates.
Right.
You're in the text because you have to preach the text. And so one reason why I tell students I'm committed to expository preaching is because I'm afraid not to be.
Amen.
I don't know how I would drift or what my spiritual life would be like if I'm not routinely, regularly working a passage of Scripture, working through a passage of Scripture. So your first argument you make is preaching expositionally, consecutively through books, brings with it personal benefits. You also say, secondly, though, it brings pastoral benefits. It brings pastoral benefits. Here's what you say. You cannot play the avoidance game when you preach through books. The text sets the agenda, and no one can justly charge you with insensitivity when they know this is your method. What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things that you do regularly as a pastor is that you counsel, for instance, and And I am privy to information from my members that no one else knows. And there's a lot of things I know in my church, privileged information, struggles and difficulties that our people are struggling with, that if I were a topical preacher, I would not address in the pulpit. I mean, I know, for instance, I said in the book, there are some families in our church that have homosexual children or homosexual grandchildren. I know that I am too, I guess you could say, weak in and of myself to address those issues without the accountability of preaching through the books. But when you preach through books of the Bible, you cannot avoid the hard topics, whether it's a controversial issue or it's a controversial doctrine. It may even be something that at face value doesn't appear to be profitable. But we recognize from Paul's writings that all scripture is profitable, even the genealogy. And so I am not going to avoid these things when I preach through books.
You know, I can remember many years ago my first pastorate and preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. And the backdrop was, in one of these scenarios you just mentioned, there was an issue of sexual sin in the church, and I had to confront it. And it was an unnerving thing for a 25-year-old pastor to deal with a prominent family in the church and a strong-willed family. And let's just say that confrontation didn't go too well, and they weren't ready to submit to the Word of God. And I'm preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and there is tension in the room and tension in the congregation over a period of weeks because people talk, and folks have picked up on this issue, and folks knew about the sin that had taken place. They knew I had confronted it. So there's just kind of tension while I'm coming to the Sermon on the Mount, and I get to speaking on Jesus and sexual sin in the heart. And man, it's like I'm throwing a match on a powder keg.
No.
And I wasn't trying to do that. I'm just preaching the next verses.
Right.
You fast forward a few years later in that same pastorate when folks knew how I handled the text. They knew how I entered the pulpit. They knew what I did week in and week out, Sunday after Sunday. And if I were to skip that passage, that would have raised alarm bells, because who am I to skip that passage?
There you go.
So my point in that analogy is, folks had perceived the prominence on preaching through Scripture, and this isn't about, preaching a hobby horse sermon or trying to get at somebody. It's just you're preaching the text. And look, there's an old saying, if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one that got hit. And, we're preaching faithfully text after text, passage after passage, working through a book. And as we do that, we are kind of spraying gunfire out there.
Yeah.
We are in our own way, I hope not pridefully or acerbically, but we are in our own way poking and prodding and probing and bringing the Word in a way that is, to an appropriate degree, confrontational week after week.
That's right. I ordained a fellow last night. I did his ordination sermon, and he is going to a country in Europe where homosexual marriage is legal, and it would be illegal to call it a sin. And he will be there preaching. And I encouraged him last night to preach through books, because in his natural self, it would be easy to avoid that issue. But he can't avoid it if he's preaching through books. And as you said, you train your people to expect you to preach the whole counsel of God. And that is corporate sanctification.
You're exactly right. Hey, Brian, let's pause here just for a moment to hear a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary is pleased to announce the Sword and Trowel Bookstore is open for business online. Sword and Trowel is Midwestern's official store for books, gifts, and all those in demand for the church state t-shirts. Visit Sword and Trowel on Midwestern's campus in Kansas City or online at mbts.edu/store to find the latest in Midwestern and For the Church gear, a treasure trove of Christian books, including those from Midwestern Seminary authors, and lots of great gifts and accessories for your home, office, or library. Sword and Trowel Bookstore. Visit them online at mbts.edu/store.
All right, we're back talking about benefits of consecutive exposition. There's a third benefit, and you call this prophetic benefits. Here's what you say. Preaching through books is a tempered and patient way to prophetically address both types of controversies without appearing reactionary and paranoid to your flock. What do you mean by that?
Well, issues will arise. As I said in the book, one of the issues that arose early on in my ministry was the doctrine of predestination, the doctrine of election. And it was a highly volatile issue. We had several people leave the church over the issue. And, you know, at the time, I had not preached from a book that centered on those doctrines, per se. But in time, I did. But by the time I got there, it had been established already, as you said earlier, that I wasn't going to skip any passage. And when I preached it, there was no controversy whatsoever. They heard what I said. They saw it in the text. And though I had been nervous all week, though I had been praying fervently all week and was worried about the fallout, because I had already established that the Word of God is our authority, they had gotten accustomed to that, and it allowed me to take on these texts in a prophetic way, and the people heard it and responded. And so that's what I mean by that. And I'll say this, there was a one of our real issues, it wasn't just doctrine. I actually had a lady sit down with her husband. Now, when you sit down with a man and woman in your office and the woman does all the talking, that already signals that there's a problem there. There's a lack of male spiritual leadership. But she looked at me and she said, we're leaving the church. And I said, why? And she said, I don't like the new people. And I'm grateful for her honesty that she would be so honest to share that with me. But within just a short time, I got up in the pulpit and I came to the Luke 5 passage where Jesus calls Levi, the tax collector, and then Levi has this party and invites his tax collector friends with Jesus, and the Pharisees are over yapping in the corner, upset at the people that Jesus is attracting. And I was able to say that if you do not like who Jesus is attracting, that is the spirit of the Pharisee, and if you are unrepentant, you are under the judgment of God. And I was able to say that prophetically as I came to that in the text. It wasn't me reacting. It would have been easy for me to preach on that very issue the week that this lady said those words, but in time, I did get to come to it. And it, you know, I'll just say this. I heard a sermon recently from a fellow that was topical. And my brother was with me when we both heard this sermon. And after the sermon, my brother said to me, did he sound like he was on the defense? Did he sound like he was a little insecure that he was addressing these issues in his church in this way? And I think the reason for that is it was a topical sermon that he just kind of arbitrarily pulled out of the air. And it sounded like he had an agenda, you know, that he was addressing an issue. Sometimes you have to do that. I recognize that. But sometimes if you do it too much, it makes you look weak and overly concerned with criticism. But when you preach through books, you're able to have that prophetic force, because they know that you don't have an agenda. The Word is the agenda.
That's good. The Word is the agenda. The Word is to be the agenda. Listen, time is flying here, but let me try to at least briefly touch on the final three benefits of consecutive exposition that you cite. Fourth, you say there are priestly benefits. When we preach through books of the Bible, we have opportunity on every page to emphasize man's desperate need and God's abundant grace.
Amen.
And I love how you framed this, because expository preaching isn't to be in distinction or in contrast with gospel Christ-centered preaching. No, preaching the text is enabling. It enables you to bring Christ to bear, because faithfully interpreting the text is to draw lines to Christ and to the gospel work. Would you agree?
Amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And though every text needs to be considered at the grammatical historical level, both you and I recognize that. We also recognize every text is on a trajectory that finds its telos and end in some way in Jesus Christ.
There's a fifth benefit, and that is, you say there are preaching benefits. The consecutive exposition method, it allows the Bible to define the issues in your church body rather than allowing the contemporary issues themselves to be the starting point. And there's a big difference in the two, would you say?
Yes. Yes. First of all, when I go to a doctor, I may have gone on WebMD and diagnosed myself, but I really don't know what my problem is. I'm just addressing issues at the symptom level. That's why I go to a doctor, and a doctor's job is to diagnose the real problem. Well, I don't even have the capacity to diagnose someone's spiritual problem. The Word of God does, though. And so people come, and they have what they perceive to be their problem. Oftentimes in marriage, it may be the husband thinking his wife's the problem, the wife thinking the husband is the problem, or perhaps their neighbor, their job, their health, whatever it may be. But the preaching benefits of preaching through books of the Bible is that it allows the Word of God to set the agenda and determine what the real issues of life are. And the burden of Scripture should be the burden of the pulpit.
Mm. Finally, there's a sixth benefit, and you argue that it's a practical benefit. You say this: consecutive exposition helps the preacher conserve time and energy that would otherwise be used choosing a sermon for each week. It is a point I can certainly resonate with. I remember my early years of preaching, Brian, of learning to preach. I would spend hours trying to figure out what to preach. And some weeks it seemed like every text was saying, "Preach me." Other weeks it seemed like no text was saying, "Preach me."
Yeah.
And falling into the rhythm of consecutive preaching through books in the Bible saves massive amounts of time selecting a passage, but also you can carry forward your study each week because you're preaching in a context.
Yeah.
And you can carry forward that study from each week and let it inform and shape the coming week's study as well. There are huge practical benefits.
No doubt about that. And, well, this has come to bear for me when I've been asked, for instance, to preach in chapel. I know you have preached in your chapel at Midwestern and at Southern and all many other chapels as well, but I've only preached at the Southern Chapel. And, you know, coming to terms with the text that I'm going to preach is the hardest thing in the world for me. That's the hardest thing about preaching in chapel or spot preaching in a church. And I always think, okay, this is what topical preachers have to address and deal with every week. I can't imagine. I would have a nervous breakdown if I did that.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Well, brother, you have penned a great book, you and your colleagues, and I really appreciate it. I want to recommend it. It's entitled Encountering God Through Expository Preaching, published by B&H Academic, a tremendous work, and it's been a joy to do a deep dive in Chapter 5 with you today, unpacking six benefits of consecutive exposition. As a footnote, as we begin to draw this conversation to a close, I want to say I have been reminded in the course of this conversation that one can play football for the University of Alabama and also be a scholar. And so I want to congratulate you on proving that both of those can coexist in one man.
Well, I'm glad I've proven that for you. Is that possible for an Auburn man? Yes, it is. We see it with your own scholarship. And I want to say this, that we are hearing great things about your work and your ministry there in Kansas City. Keep it up, Dr. Allen.
Oh, thank you so much. Listen, that's so kind of you. It's been a joy to talk today. God bless you. May you and Heather and the family have a wonderful summer, what's left of it. And I look forward to seeing you soon, Brian.
Thank you. And you tell thank Dr. Spray and I said hello as well.
I'll do it.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, JasonKAllen.com.